Hi, my name is Austin. Welcome. Welcome. Is anyone here? I have to ask, you know, and it's okay if you are a little tired. No, I heard a woo. Either you're woo because you're tired or you're woo because you're not tired and you're just trying to let everyone else know. I don't know. Either way. What a glorious day. Right? Isn't it? What a glorious day. Waking up with an hour less of sleep. It's cold again. Snow on the ground. Just a good old glorious Indiana day. Right? I truly am, before I get into what I'm getting into, I truly am glad to be here today. But if I'm honest, there are some days when it's hard to be here. And sometimes it's because I'm tired and it's cold outside. But usually it's more than that. Usually it's because there's stuff going on in my life that's hard. Things I don't want to deal with. Things I'd rather just not talk about. Or acknowledge, just sweep under the rug. And I know if I go to church, God could make me go there and have to think about or talk about those things. And I don't want to go there. So sometimes I don't go there to church. There are some days when it's not so good to be here, but I put on my smile. And I ask how you're doing. And I try to keep the conversation going because I don't want you to ask me how I'm doing. Because I don't want to lie to you and tell you that I'm good. Because if I don't tell you that I'm good, because Christians, especially pastors, gosh, they should be good all the time because God is good. Well, things get uncomfortable and awkward. And I don't want to have to deal with that because I'm tired and it's cold outside. Are we a little uncomfortable this morning? Good. Let me ask you a question. Wait, don't wanna mess up. Luis warned me beforehand, don't get this in the water. I didn't think it'd be nerve-wracking to drink water in front of people. If I'm being completely honest. A little bit more. About right. Is this glass half full or half empty? Half full? I heard yes. That's one of my favorite answers of all time. No joke. It really is. I love answering yes to questions like that. So anyway, I heard half full. Any half empties? None that'll raise their hand? Okay. Yes. Why can't it be both? Isn't it both? True? Yes, where's my yes man? Isn't it both? Yes. Thank you. Yes, half full, yes. There's still plenty of water in there. Plenty of water for you to drink if you're thirsty. And we can be grateful for that. And that's good. That is good. Half full, that is good. Gratitude for what we have, that's good. But it is just as true if I were to say that this glass is half empty. That half of the water in this glass is missing. It's gone. And unless I have more water somewhere else, I can't refill this. And that's a little bit sad. And for some reason, there's tension in our culture with viewing this glass as half empty. You guys proved me right. No one raised their hand. Maybe you did and I didn't see you. The lights are bright. Our culture, specifically in the West, struggles with sad. We don't do well with it. It's like being sad is almost treasonous in our culture. When someone expresses their sadness, it's like, it's okay. Hold on a second. We're so quick to respond with the silver lining, but hey, look on the bright side, buddy. Cheer up. It'll get better. It will get easier. And in the church, sometimes we're even worse about handling people's sadness because we bring God into the picture in some ways, some of the most unhelpful ways, sometimes hurtful even. I've heard Christians say things like, remember, God's got a plan. Or it's just not God's plan for you. All in God's timing. He's just strengthening you. Have faith, everything will work out. Maybe you've heard those words before in a time in your life that was incredibly painful. And those words did not bring you comfort. As they should, they're true. Everything I said are good and true things. But in those moments, those can be harmful, even hurtful. And it's because we're uncomfortable with sad. For some reason, it's as if we think God has an issue with our sadness. Friends, nearly half of our Psalms are Psalms of lament, poems and songs of someone expressing their sorrow, their grief, their sadness. There's an entire book of the Bible about sadness, about sorrow and grief, about lament. What's it called? Lamentations. God doesn't have a problem with sadness. We do sometimes. If you've been around the past few Sundays, you know we're in a series called Frayed. Frayed being how the stress in our lives keeps us from living or keeps us living in ways where we feel like we're being pulled in every direction and like we're falling apart at the seams all at the same time. And so why am I talking about sadness if our series is about stress? Because sadness is inevitable. Because loss is inevitable. And grief. What we experience in loss. Grief can be a source of chronic stress in our lives. If you remember chronic stress from week one when Blair talked about this. In other words, grief can be stressful, harmful even, if we don't deal with it in a healthy way. So today we're going to talk about sad things. Talk about sad things. Hence the reason I started off this morning the way I did. Bit of a lament. That made some of us probably a little uncomfortable. We just got done singing about Glorious Day, Austin. I was buried, but now I'm alive. But I know sometimes people walk into this space, into this place, and those words are hard to sing because of what you're going through. So today we're going to talk about sad things. Loss, grief, and lament. And how I believe we can adjust course towards Christ through it into healing and wholeness. So first, I want to define grief a little bit more than I have. Grief is the deep sorrow that is caused by loss. When we think of loss, many of us know it well, but loss can look like a lot of different things. It can be a sense of change, a disruption. It can be the loss of a loved one, but it could be situational too. Maybe you moved into a new community, into a new state, or maybe you moved to a new school, right? It could be a job change or a routine change. Maybe it's relational. Maybe there's someone in your family who's chronically ill, or you have a loved one who has a mental health disorder. Or maybe it's from separation or divorce. Or remarriage, or blending a family. Maybe it's abuse or neglect. It could even be the unfulfilled dreams that we have in our lives. Maybe you didn't get the job. Maybe you didn't make the team. Maybe you're not talented or skilled enough in one particular area. Maybe you've been rejected recently by a group of people. Maybe you've experienced infertility or miscarriage, loss. Is different for everyone. And loss is also layered too. It's complex. For example, if you're going through a divorce, it's not just the loss of your spouse. It's also the loss of time with your kids, if you have them. Loss of in-laws that you may or may not enjoy. Loss of a future family. Loss of future holidays. Loss of dream vacations or a home that you built or wanted to build. Sometimes loss can have all of the future losses accompanied with it. It's not simple. Loss has a lot of different shapes. And so our grief can take many different forms as well. You've probably heard of the 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, which are helpful for us to understand the kind of care we might need, or helpful for us to understand where we might be at in the process or in the stage of grief that we might find ourselves in, but not as helpful as what we might want it to be as a guide for our grief, because it's not. You could be experiencing multiple stages at once or go from one to the other and then back to the other one. There is no guide for overcoming grief. I've read that grief becomes a part of you, like a wound that becomes a scar. And yet, too many of us walk around with our grief as an open wound. And we don't acknowledge it or properly heal it because sad is bad. And we live wounded and bleeding everywhere we go on everyone we love because we don't know how to navigate our loss and our grief. But Jesus did. So we're going to navigate some of that this morning, today. The first place I want to go in the scriptures is Mark chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting at verse 32, Mark chapter 14, verse 32. If you've got the Bible app, great, fantastic. Maybe you're old school, you still got your paper Bible. That's fantastic. Whatever you prefer. I've got it on my computer. So here we have, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Excuse me. Maybe I need more of that water. Hours. This is hours before everything would change for Jesus and the world, where he would give up and lose his life to save ours. That's this moment in the garden. This big change that is coming for Jesus and his friends and for the world. Verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He then took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, this hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." You can hear it, can't you? The grief in this moment. Everything is about to change for Jesus. We read his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus experienced probably the most intense and painful grief a human can. We read that he was so stressed, he was actually sweating blood. And in his grief, Does Jesus buck up, Buttercup? Does he look for the silver lining? Does he even acknowledge that God's got this? Not really. He cries out to his father in the most intimate way. Abba, Papa, Dad, please, everything is possible for you. If there is another way, take this cup from me. This is lament. Have you ever seen someone? Have you ever seen someone you love and respect deeply? Maybe in a parent relationship, or a teaching relationship, or a coach. Someone you love and respect deeply, have you ever seen them break down like this in front of you? It's unsettling. It's uncomfortable. And this is Jesus. And it's in this moment Jesus shows us what it looks like to grieve and lament our loss in this fallen world. Friends, we can and we should cry out to God, our Father. And we need to be able to do that in the presence of those we love. He didn't go alone. Jesus was not alone when he cried out to his Father in lament, in the deepest stress, when he fell to his face. He asked three people he loved deeply to stay with him. Moments later, when Jesus is arrested, is in that moment, do we see a stressed, anxious Jesus? We don't, no. We don't see a stressed, anxious Jesus. In fact, in that moment, Jesus is calm, cool, and collected, and he is ready. He is ready for whatever plan God has. Grief can and is stressful. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. Lamenting, too, can be uncomfortable if we're not used to it. But it is good. It's one of the ways God meets us and heals us. It's a way that God moves us into deeper relationship with him and, I believe, those around us. When we lament in the presence of God and others, it's a process of healing. Healing the wounds from loss. I want to go to one more place in the scriptures today. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Again, if you have your Bibles or if you're using the Bible app, by the way. Starting in verse 24. This is after Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene first and then to the other disciples. Except one, but we'll get into that. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples, they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Listen, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe you. Because I saw that man hung up on a cross." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Can you blame Thomas for feeling the way that he did? Losing his beloved teacher and friend in the most gruesome and horrifying way? Thomas is grieving. Thomas gets a bad rep sometimes. Like doubting Thomas. What a guy. How could you doubt him? Friends, he's grieving. He's grieving. And he's being told the impossible up to this point. Up until Jesus, death was the final word. No one came back from death. It was it. Hey, he's dead. That's it. He's done. No one comes back from death. And they watched him die. And so in his grief, he only repeats what the others have already seen. He says, until I've seen what you've seen, his scars. And he takes it a step further. He says, and I put my hand in his side. Again, loss and grief takes different forms and shapes in all of us, affects all of us differently, right? He wanted to put his hand there. For Thomas, this was where he was at. This is where he was in the process of loss and grief. When Jesus shows up, how does he handle Thomas's grief? We just read it. He invites him closer. He invites him closer. First thing he does, you see Thomas, come here, come closer. Do it. Put your hand there. Come closer. See my scars, touch them. Does anyone find it interesting that Jesus still has his scars after being resurrected? It's almost as if it was to be able to show us the grief and pain he went through for us. And now to show Thomas, and I believe us too, that we are not alone. We're not alone in our loss and in our grief. You've got wounds, Jesus did too. You've got scars, Jesus does too. We're not alone in our loss and in our seasons of grief. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? So how do we know if we're grieving? In a culture where sad is bad, how do we know if we're grieving? Or that maybe we need to? Well, I'm gonna go through a list of things. Have you been on edge more? Irritable or angry? Maybe you felt sad or down or like a weight is on you. Maybe you found yourself thinking about the specific loss more and more. And so your thoughts are just kind of circulating around this one specific thing a little bit more often than normal. Could have happened recently, could have happened a long time ago. Do you have increased worry about something or someone else in your life leaving? Or have you felt numb or apathetic recently? Or do you feel afraid? And through this series, you've realized you're stressed, but you can't pinpoint from what. Maybe you need to ask yourself, have I experienced some sort of loss? Has there been a sense of change or some disruption in my life that I need to recognize? Perhaps you're stressed because there's a loss in your life that you're not dealing with. You see, when we find ourselves in times or seasons of grief, the stress only compounds when we don't deal with it. We only end up more stressed. The loss hurts, and when we don't grieve, we become more and more afraid, and we eventually do fall apart at the seams. And so the question becomes, how do we let ourselves grieve so that we can keep going? Loss is inevitable. So is grief. So how do we grieve? How do we grieve appropriately so that we can keep going? Because it's not that grief isn't going to exist. We live in a fallen world. We do lose people. We do lose things in our lives. Things do change. So what are we going to do with it when that happens? Friends, how we handle our grief and loss in our lives directly impacts how we live our lives and the stress we experience on a regular basis. How did Jesus navigate grief? Like the psalmists, as well as the author of Lamentations, with lament, with God and others, in community. How does Jesus help us to navigate our grief? Like Thomas, if we have the bravery to voice our grief, I believe he invites us closer and reminds us that we are not alone. With his scars, by his wounds, we are healed. Right? I think there's something, some of you know I'm a bit of a nerd. I like Star Wars and Marvel and all those things. Most men do, all right? I don't know why that's nerdy these days. Well, it's superhero stuff, it's cool stuff. There was a quote. Has anyone here seen WandaVision? Disney Plus. Some of you have. That whole entire TV show is really about someone experiencing grief. And there's a line in that, holy cow, it stuck me, and I have not been able to get rid of it. And I was waiting for the right opportunity to share it with you guys at some point. I knew there would be a time. And Blair's like, you're talking about loss and healing. I'm like, oh, wait. But yes, I get to share this. There's a line in the TV show where Wanda's kind of processing her loss with Vision, her robot, counterpart. It's, all right, don't get to just, Vision's never experienced loss before. And so he says this to Wanda in response. What is grief if not love persevering? What are those healed wounds if not love persevering? I just thought it was such a beautiful line as I consider it next to Christ. And his work in our lives, particularly when it comes to grief. Practically, what does this look like as we go about our week? Well, I want us to consider this glass half full. I mentioned it at the beginning. Gratitude. I think we talk about gratitude a lot. I think our culture is pretty comfortable with gratitude. And I do think it's valuable to have gratitude. I think it's valuable to have a gratitude journal, to be grounded in gratitude, or what I used to tell students, to have an attitude of gratitude. I think gratitude can help carry us through difficult times. You know, I said nearly half the Psalms are Psalms of lament. The other half are Psalms of praise or of gratitude. This week, go read Psalm 13. Or if you're in a series group, you'll be reading that because it's the recommended reading I have for your group. But if you're not, read Psalm 13. You'll find a psalm that is lament and grief, half full and half empty. Yes. Because it is half empty. Right? And so as we go into this week, we can be grounded in gratitude. But I think it's just as important in our healing process as we deal with grief to lament what's been lost. What has changed? Is there something you need to grieve in this season of life? Something that is stressing you out, that is keeping you frayed, that you haven't talked about with God. You haven't gone there with God. You haven't gone there with someone else. So this week, what does that look like for you? Maybe it looks like writing out something. Maybe if you're not apt to share with people, because that's not comfortable for you, that's fine. I would encourage you, write out your lament on a piece of paper. Again, if you wanna figure out what a good lament is, go read some Psalms. They give it to God. Straight up. They don't hold back. Give that to God. If you're not a writer, do this with something you love, someone you love. Open up to them. I promise it'll bring you closer into a relationship with that person and with God. and it'll help you heal. I've heard it said before that we can only heal as much or to the extent of which we tell our story. And so I'm going to leave you with that. And I'm going to ask the band to come on up, and I'm going to pray. And then we're going to close out this service with some worship together. And so, but I'm going to leave you with that. To consider the glass half full and the glass empty as you go about this week. As you hold the stress in your hand, but also maybe a season of grief. And what does it look like to heal? Can I pray for you? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. For this glorious day. This looks different for all of us, Lord. And it feels different for all of us. Some of us are more comfortable with expressing it. Others of us, we ball it up, man. We sweep it under the rug. Only to realize that we've swept so much under that rug that that rug is now a mountain. And it's taken up my living room. And I can't focus because there's this big rug with stuff. I don't just get that image this morning, God. And so, Lord, as we bring our loss, as we bring our grief before you, God, help us to lament. Help us to feel what you feel and care about what you care about, God, which is us. You care deeply about us. And I know it grieves you to see the world in the state that it is in. To sometimes see our lives in the state that our lives are in. And so God, I just pray that you would meet us this week. That you would come alongside us and help us to walk through some of this stuff. Maybe it's old stuff that you're trying to drudge up because that wound has opened up a little bit again and it's getting messy. And so God, I pray for healing. I pray for your presence of peace on our lives and over us, and that you would help us with your spirit to navigate the loss and grief in our lives. Jesus, you get us. And you know us. You know what it's like to experience loss and stress and shame and grief. So God, we're not alone. May we rest in that this week and find comfort in that this week. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. And we come to you in this time of worship, Lord, with gratitude. With gratitude. Amen. Thank you.